Chariot Solutions TechCast for Thursday, August 21st, 2008. I'm Ken Rimple. Welcome to the show. On the show today, part two of our series on startups and technology. We talked to three college sophomores, David Kosslyn, Ryan Schoen, and Shankar Ramaswamy. These three have created a company called Phrase It, with a website at www.phraseit.com. We'll see when we listen to the interview that it started from another project entirely. On the Phrase It site, you can offer 30-character messages and allow others to rank those messages in a tag cloud. Their application is based on PHP. Listen and compare their approach with others that we talked to this week. So let's see here. So I've got the three guys here from Phrase It. I've got Shankar, Ryan, and David. How are you guys doing today?
Good.
Good.
All right. So why don't we talk a little bit first about the product itself. So Phrase It is, what would you call it?
Phrase It is a way to view condensed opinions online at a glance really easily. It's a way to browse and share opinions.
Okay.
So we have a really cool display where on any topic page, the most popular opinions appear the largest on the screen.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So you can describe any topic in 30 characters or less, you know, agree with an existing one, and you know, see at a glance what other people think as well.
All right. So Phrase It is a way of kind of putting short messages online, and or I guess is it almost like doing polls in a way?
Sure. Sort of like. Wikipedia meets Urban Dictionary meets Amazon Reviews.
Right. Now, and we were talking before the show about what the genesis of this was. Give us a little background on, you know, you came in to Dream It with another product, right?
Mm-hmm. So Shankar and I are rising sophomores at Harvard, and Ryan's a rising sophomore at MIT. And, you know, the three of us started off with a problem that we were really frustrated with, which was finding study partners outside of class. So we wanted to create a website where we could meet other students who we may or may not know and form study groups online or in person. So the project was called Study Buddy. We started building it. We applied to Dream It. We got in. We were really excited. And we went off and made most of it. It's 75% done. We tested in summer school classes at UPenn and Drexel. We have some big classes lined up in the fall at Harvard. Leads at about 20 different universities interested in using this. One of the features was a psychological matchmaking system where the site would recommend you compatible study partners in your classes. So if you like to study at night, you probably want to study with other people who also like to study at night. If you like studying to be a social thing, you like to do a lot of prep work beforehand, that kind of information, it could match you up with someone who'd be good. So the way it was going to gather data before the complicated algorithms was having a little box on each person's profile page where you could describe them with a short phrase or agree with an existing short phrase. The idea being if lots of people describe Shankar as goofy and I'm looking for a fun study group, I'd want to study with Shankar.
Sorry, Shankar.
It's true.
Yes. And so you went down that road and you had this interesting way of you know, putting that depiction down, and you thought maybe that would be more interesting or at least something you could launch in shorter time?
So the thought process was we already had Study Buddy built.
Right.
We had some good traction with it and a lot of interest in it. And this was just something that we thought had a faster ramp-up process where
right.
we could just build it, put it out there, and see what happens.
Well, also, you have a very limited time frame. And in September, I think you had mentioned September 4th being the date of kind of the pitch to the Dream It folks, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So getting the whole Study Buddy site up in line is probably much more difficult in that time frame, correct?
Well, we had actually built most of it. So one of the compelling reasons to switch gears was we have a stable product. So even though it's, you know, 75% done, we're missing some of the Dream features.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty good, and people have used it over the summer, and we'll probably use it again in the fall if we decide to launch.
Mm-hmm.
So we were in the nice position where we have something stable, and we were, you know, we had the opportunity to work on this other side thing and see if it went anywhere. And the marginal cost is pretty low because if it fails, you know, we still have Study Buddy.
Right, pick up Study Buddy
exactly,
right afterwards.
Right.
Okay. Good. So now the technology you guys are using is PHP and MySQL. Is that right?
Yeah, for the back end mostly. We're also using a lot of AJAX for the front.
Good. Okay, so from an AJAX perspective, I'm going to jump around here, but from an AJAX perspective, you're using what AJAX libraries, or are you doing it all manually?
We're doing most of it manually.
Mm-hmm.
We are using jQuery and some of the Yahoo user interface.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so from PHP perspective, are you using any frameworks from PHP? Or?
No, we decided to go at it just with the code that we have.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so you're doing ranking algorithms, I guess, and things like that, you know, kind of totaling and grouping and such, right? Any challenges in building that in PHP as opposed to in, like, a more structured language?
I think the biggest downside of PHP is sort of how hacked together it is. And, you know, it's interspliced with everything else, so it's a lot harder to partition things out. So I think the biggest issue has been sort of an organizational one,
mm-hmm.
Both in terms of, you know, making sure files are internally consistent and, you know, sort of functions are consistent across files. You know, the algorithms, parts of that have been pretty complex as well, but that's the kind of thing where usually if you just bang your head against the wall enough, you know, after it stops hurting, you figure something out.
Right, right.
I'd say the biggest problem that we've had not working with the framework is getting the AJAX and PHP to communicate back and forth, because the framework usually handles a lot of that, but we're having to do that manually,
mm-hmm.
and just getting them to talk to each other has been a challenge.
And you're supporting browsers, I'm sure, is a fun part too, right?
Yes.
So how's IE deal with it versus Firefox versus what have you?
David and I do most of our developing in Firefox, and then we send it over to Shanka for testing, mm-hmm. who's using Internet Explorer, and everything always breaks.
I'm so sorry for you. Have you met a Macintosh yet?
Every day David tells me.
Oh, he's trying to convert
Yeah.
For people who don't know, I'm a rabid Mac fan myself, so... So technology-wise, it sounds like it's a kind of your LAMP stack, right? Are you sitting PHP on Apache, I guess, correct?
Correct.
Is there any other way? when you were looking at hosting options, what'd you look at?
So we debated the cloud for a while.
Mm-hmm.
We looked at Moso. We looked at EC2. Was there another one? There was a third one, I think. We thought the cloud was a really awesome idea,
mm-hmm.
you know, very capital efficient because you only use as much as you need to.
Right.
A number of them didn't allow you to have shell access, which was a real problem.
Yeah.
We liked subversioning a lot.
It was surprising the number of hosting companies that didn't allow Subversion or CVS or
mm-hmm.
anything along those lines.
Was it that they weren't supported and they would shut them down if they found them, or you couldn't physically do them?
It didn't come with it installed, and they would not allow you to install it. There was no way to do it.
You didn't have root access,
for example. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So that was a big factor, and EC2 is a sort of high startup cost to, you know, learning how it works and getting mm-hmm. it all set up. And given, you know, in the world of a startup, everything is very fast-paced, so you don't want to plan more than 2 weeks ahead.
Right.
We thought it made more sense to do something that's, you know, dedicated. We can control everything. It may not be the best for scaling, but if we get to the point where that's an issue... You know, everything's going well, so that's the least of our worries.
Yeah, right, right. And so as you're building this out, your development cycles and how you're getting things done, you said you're sort of kind of a 2-week planning process, or at least no further than 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Well, what take me through like a day-to-day living in the world of a startup. Like, you know, how do you deal with development? You know, does Shanker come back and say, you know what, I think you really ought to do this? And you go, but I just built all this code. I mean, what's it like for you guys?
So I think we can talk about our day today. I think
that's that a perfect example.
Not a perfect example, a very atypical example, but
that's
a fun example.
Right.
So typically we just bounce around ideas, kind of sit around, play around with some new thoughts, and David and Ryan go put it together, and I look for ways to get it out there.
Mm-hmm.
Today is a very interesting case because we were contacted by TechCrunch actually yesterday, and they interviewed us. We were expecting some kind of article, and we found out that it was going to be published this morning. So it's up there actually right now on TechCrunch, which is really exciting for us.
Who'd you talk to, Steve Gilmore himself? Or?
No, it was Jason.
Jason Kincaid.
How about that? That's awesome.
Yeah.
Great. Okay.
So we thought it was going to go up last night, so we were here, you know, investigating how to scale the server. We're on Media Temple, which does have some nice options for, like, instantaneous... upgrading and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, covering our butts, getting some feedback, crazy flurry of last-minute code, that kind of stuff. On a day-to-day basis, I'd say there's usually, you know, a good half hour to hour of sort of brainstorming and stepping back, usually towards the beginning of the day. We have a whiteboard in our room that has a long, long list of to-dos.
With a big do not erase at the top.
Exactly.
Not my project management system.
Yeah. And we're all in one room sitting right next to each other, which is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So usually Ryan and I will like divvy up different tasks, ask questions back and forth, try to get something, you know, prototype up within a day of development for whatever we're doing. So we actually had a, you know, a rough version of the site up within a week.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess one of our implicit philosophies is if you can't prototype it quickly, you know, that's a really bad sign.
That's an interesting concept because, you know, the more complex something is, the difficult it is to discuss, right? So I guess Occam's razor comes in, right? The simplest solution is always the best one,
right?
Especially in a startup, right?
Yeah.
Are there any issues? So you're busy working on this application and changing it. Are there any issues with opening the code up every time a major change comes in because you're using PHP? Do you find that to be a limiter right now for you?
How do you mean?
Meaning that because it's kind of like the separation between code. So if you take a Java or a .NET or any kind of enterprise-y with a Y at the end, with no N or something, I don't know. But you know, you've got that separation between the page and the code behind the page.
Right.
And then the business logic and the data logic and all that. In PHP, you could certainly just write a PHP that has data code, you know, calls to methods that do database calls. You know, and obviously, you're doing, you know, a startup, so perfection isn't quite the goal, right? I mean, getting the concept running and live and working is the goal, right?
Right.
So do you find problems in going in and adding features or changing features? Does the language slow you down at all, maybe?
No, I'm not too sure, but I mean, so many times now we've gone in and had to pretty much change the entire approach that we were taking to do something so that we could achieve whatever goal we were trying to get at that point. Just completely change everything from
so
the ground
throw
up.
It out, start again.
Pretty much.
Not the entire code base, but pieces
of it.
Obviously, right.
So in one way, if PHP limits you that way, maybe. But also, I feel like because we're dealing with PHP, we can do that. We can go down and change very minute details, whereas with the framework, you kind of have to play by their rules instead of playing by our rules.
Yeah, that's what I was looking at, actually. Right. So where the, you know, the pain but the benefits are.
Right. So it's a little messier, but it's faster. So you can make changes a lot more easily.
Are you guys using any specialized PHP libraries at all?
We had debated Cake for a while. There are a couple of functions. Are we using that one from Cake?
We're not.
We're not using the MVC platform for it, right?
Right, yes.
Yeah.
We're not using yet. No large libraries or large frameworks. We do. I know a couple of times we needed a certain feature, so we would just like Google it, find something with a good license that we could take and modify without any restrictions, and use that. Just like a mailer. I don't know what else we use.
PHP is nice because there's a lot of open source stuff
There's a large community base. Yeah. Absolutely.
So the biggest focus right now is just getting as many users as possible, and that's something we're working on. Yeah, there you go. So I mean, it's just like looking at which markets to target and which audiences really to go after. I think we've learned a lot from just putting it out there as to what type of user actually likes it, and that's going to give us a better sense of like where to actually roll it out.
How do you popularize the app? So, you know, what do you do to get the word out without looking like you're saying, look at me everywhere.
If you find the answer to that, let us know.
Yeah. Friends and family kind of things. Could you post something for me? Right?
We did a Facebook as a utility. Imagine that. We sent it out to all of our Facebook friends and made a Facebook group. So we have 500 people or something. Nothing huge, but at least all of the people pulling for us on that group. That's how we got the initial feedback. Then we went back and David and Ryan helped, like I guess, refine the features, add some new ones. Particularly a social tracking feature. I don't know if we explained that before.
No, I don't think we went into that yet.
So basically you can, through the site, track your friends' phrasing activity, and whenever they phrase a topic, you'll get updates on your personalized feed. You can also track topics that are of interest to you so that anytime any user phrases the topic, it'll show up in your feed.
This is a complete non sequitur, but one of the other things I've come to appreciate this summer is being a student. A lot of the other startups here are, you know, late 20s, early 30s, and if they don't get funding, they don't eat dinner. So we're in a lucky position. This is completely unrelated to
But
we're in a very lucky position where, you know, we have a really strong buffer, and I'm surprised more students don't do things like this. I mean, the startup cost is so low, you know, just paying for a server, basically, if you can, you know, write all the stuff on your own.
It beats trying to find a temp job somewhere, right?
Yeah, I mean, definitely.
And it's a temp job that someone looks on your resume when they're looking to hire you. You know, 5-10 years down the road, they go, "Oh, wow, in college, we actually were in a startup." You know,
it's also really fun.
Yeah.
And if this totally flops, which we don't think it will, but if it does, we go back to school.
Exactly.
No harm done.
You, Oh, man. I'm almost 40, so I'm double your age, so I am. Yeah, why didn't I do that?
Yeah, so we're just trying to target major blogs out there just to get the word out, and we actually got very lucky this morning to get TechCrunch.
How about things like protecting your investment, backing up, you know, keeping copies of your environment, that kind of thing? Do you have two copies, or how do you back it up?
So, I mean, clearly we have the copy on the server, which has all the versioned stuff. David and I also have local copies on our computers.
From Subversion.
From Subversion.
Right.
And I've been making copies to an external hard drive all the time, as frequently as I can. So we figure we're relatively protected, at least at this small stage. We're not doing too much.
A couple hours a day back.
Yeah, and that's not a huge deal right now for us.
Right. From the shared repository perspective, you're in good shape.
Right.
All right. Well, gentlemen, thank you very much for meeting me, and I appreciate your time.
Our pleasure.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Special thanks today to Chris Serra of Vuzit for setting up these podcast interviews. Also thanks to Tracy Wilson-Rossman of Chariot for setting up the interview with Chris that led to these interviews. You can find out more about Chariot Solutions, including hiring information, all of our presentations back to 2001, and other information at www.chariotsolutions.com. Registration is now open for Chariot Solutions 2008 Fall Conference, Fall Forecast Computing Among the Clouds. This one-day event, held on Friday, October 17th at the Great Valley Penn State campus, will bring together local businesses and industry leaders in cloud computing. For more information, visit our website, www.cloudconeast.com.